glory, 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 glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is worthy to be praised. Let's open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we truly thank you for being able to come to you, and it is at the throne of grace. Thank you for that, rather than a throne of wrath.
Thank you, Lord.
It is a throne of grace. We deserve wrath.
Yes, Lord.
But it is a throne of grace, and we are so grateful for that. Wow. We thank you, Father, once again for the shed blood of Jesus that allowed us to be saved, sanctified, that allowed us to be filled, led, influenced, and dominated moment by moment by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The blood that never loses its power. The blood that cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cleanses us from all sin, every sin. That's good news. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the word that we're about to partake of. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear.
Yes.
So we can hear what the Spirit has to say to us, the church.
Amen.
And we will be hearers, and I confess we will be doers of your word. And thereby we will bring you glory, and we will be blessed in our doing.
Amen.
And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We are continuing our series on the sin of boasting. We probably, if the Lord will, we probably will finish up this chapter today in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Mother, what's your name? Something to write with? Okay, here we are. I got you. Okay, the sin of boasting. Let's turn back to our foundation text, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and the 13th verse. James chapter 4, verse 13. Glory be to God. And it reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." Glory be to God. So we're just reviewing first. Again, verse 13 of James chapter 4 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow." Then they have the five, we went over that quite a while ago, the five we wills, that are the I wills that Satan had in Isaiah the 14th chapter and verses 13 and 14. Here we have the five we wills. And so it says here that today or tomorrow, we will do this today or tomorrow. That's when we'll do it. We will go to such and such a city. That's where we're going to do it. And we will spend a year there. That's for how long we're going to do it. We will engage in business. That's what will happen. And then, engage in business is what we will do. And then we will make a profit. That's what will happen. So we're saying, when we're going to do something, where it's going to be done, for how long it's going to be done, what we will do when we get there, and what will happen as a result of our doing. Complete dismissal of the sovereign will of God. And we were reminded of the rich landowner in Luke chapter 12. You know, you have to turn and just reviewing. In verse 18 and 19, he gives his five I wills there. And so his five I wills is, he will, verse 18, he will tear down his barns. Second thing is, he's going to build larger barns. Then he says, I will store all my grain. That's three I wills. Four, I will store all my goods. And number five, and I will say to my soul, soul, take your ease. But God said to him, you fool, you ignorant, egotistical, mindless, unwise, stupid fellow. This night, your soul. And I have in my notes again, your soul is required of you. The soul that you thought that you had complete control over is actually under my control. And I'm telling you that this soul is going to be required of you this night. You do not have control over your soul. And again, when James asked the question, and we'll get there in a moment, about you don't know what tomorrow holds. He didn't even, this rich, the parable of this rich landowner didn't even know what the rest of the day was going to hold, let alone tomorrow. Jeremiah 10:23, still reviewing, just write it down or reviewing. He said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, meaning it is not within man's power, might, or ability, amen, to order his steps. It says, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps, means to arrange the course of his own life, to fix, to order, to organize his own steps, to determine his way. It's not in man. He can say it, but it's not him to do. That's beyond mankind's pay grade, and we need to realize that.
Amen.
That's God's business.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to James chapter 4. I guess you're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us in verse 14 why we should never boast. After telling us that we're going to do these five we wills, then he says, this is why we shouldn't do it. Verse 14, he said, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. First thing, and as we concerning the parable of the rich landowner, he didn't even know what the rest of the afternoon was going to be like. And so he said, you're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears in little Greek. As we said it earlier, you're just steam rising from a cup of coffee. The breath on a cold winter morning that is there for a moment and then vanishes away. By you being so fragile, you do not have any right to make plans as if you have the power to bring it to pass. So when he says that you don't know what your life will be like, Proverbs 27:1, still reviewing, Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And so the old folks used to say, tomorrow is not promised. And that was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
As if somebody has promised you tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. That is really true. And so we need to just be careful. So we're just a vapor, a puff of smoke, a steam that appears for a little while and then disappears. Psalm 144:4 says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Wow. Not here very long, and we're not strong at all. Verse 15 of James chapter 4, still reviewing. Instead, you ought to say, And the words, again, say, it's to be saying habitually and constantly and consistently and continually, we ought to be saying, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. And we say it again, made it very clear that we're not just talking about saying, because saying is not to just say words out of your mouth, but it is to admit and to acknowledge and then submit to the will of God. And remember, saying carries with it acknowledging the will of God, submitting to the sovereign will of God over and above our own, and a reminder that to acknowledge and to submit to the sovereign will of God is to obey his will. So we want to make that crystal clear, and we're very thankful for the Lord bringing that out. It's not just saying it or just acknowledge and submitting to it even mentally. It's not just mental assent. It's a complete submission of your will, your heart, mind, and soul. And the proof of that is in obedience to God's will. God's will is to be acknowledged and obeyed. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now we've come to verse 16 of James chapter 4. Let's pick up there. He says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You boast in your arrogance. Boast is to falsely, loudly, and emptily, if you will. And that's not a word. Glory in yourself, to falsely, loudly glory in yourself, which is empty, vain, and worthless glorying, if you will. He said, but as it is, you boast a false boast. It's a loud boast. It's an empty boast in your arrogance. Arrogance means arrogant pretensions, proud presumptions, self-confident assertions. Means to brag. Again, arrogant pretensions. It's arrogant, but it's a pretense because you don't have the real power to bring any of that to pass. It's proud presumptions because you're presuming that just because I've made the plans and I'll have spoken it out of my mouth, that is going to happen. That is a presumption. That is proud. Self-confident assertions. It means to brag. He says, in your, as you boast and glory loudly, in your empty boasting, they're just arrogant. It amounts, your boasting amounts to arrogant pretensions, proud presumptions, and self-confident assertions. He said, all sorts of boasting like that is evil. Poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S is the Greek word, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. It means it's of the evil one. It's evil and of the evil one. It is evil and of the evil one. Who is the evil one? Satan. The devil, who was the original boaster. Mm-hmm. Think about that. He was the original boaster. You can write it as a reference note again, Isaiah 14, verses 13 through 16 again. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will sit on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the heights. I will make myself like the Most High. The original boaster. I will, I will, I will. And then the Lord God pronounces his will. He says, nevertheless, you will. You want to know something about that's going to happen to you that's guaranteed? Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. You're going to go down to the realm of the dead and the damned. Not only will you rise and ascend, you are going to descend. And I'm going to thrust you down. I'm going to throw you down there. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God is in complete control. And so when we brag and boast like that, we're imitating not our Father who art in heaven, but we're imitating the father of his children. We're imitating the other father, Satan. And we don't want to be of that class of people who Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. We don't want to be in that class. But we tend, if we say that, if we boast like this, then we're imitating the original boaster. Now the question is then asked, why is all such boasting evil? The reason is because this kind of boasting sets human beings above God. And we're no longer reviewing now. We're moving forward. Because this kind of boasting sets human beings over and above God and against God and robs God of his sovereign will that belongs to him and him alone. So why is this evil? Because it sets man at the top. It makes man sovereign or attempts to do so. And it robs God of his rightful place of being praised and honored and submitted to and acknowledged the sovereignty that is duly his. This kind of boasting, to say it another way, completely leaves God out of the picture. Out of our planning, as though he does not count. I said this kind of boasting completely leaves God out of the picture, out of our planning, as though he, God, does not count. That's why that boasting is evil. Hopefully when it's broken down like that, you can see it like, oh yeah, that's not to be. Especially when it says in Proverbs chapter 3 that we are to acknowledge him in all our ways. Glory be to God. Let's look at someone. And by the way, that's carefully worded. Thank you, Lord. So I need to point this out. It's carefully worded. I said this kind of boasting completely leaves God out of the picture, out of our planning, as though he does not count. Now notice what I didn't say. I didn't say as though he does not exist. Because they exist. God exists. And they are saying that he exists. But he just doesn't count in our planning. So I want you to take note of that. We're saying he exists. We just don't care. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 7. Isaiah 47, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to look at someone who acknowledges that God exists, but they don't care. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 7. Is that what I said the first time? Verse 7, okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, take your time. Okay. All right. Verse 7. He said, yet you said, and the you represents the Babylonian Empire. It represents Babylon or the Babylonian Empire. And what the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah has done is personified the empire and made it a person in a sense. He said, yet you said, I will be a queen forever. So he's personified the Babylonian Empire and he's made it a female in gender. He said, I will be a queen, listen to this word, forever. You found her, mother?
47.
Yeah, 47, verse 7.
70.
Seven, yeah. Okay, you got it? Okay. He said, yet you said, I will be a queen forever. These things you did not consider nor remember the outcome of them. Verse 8. Now then, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am and there is no one beside me. Listen to that. Who does that sound like? This Babylonian Empire sounded like God. I am, and there's no one beside me. Wow, the nerve, the gall. He said, I will not sit as a widow, nor know loss of children. So as the Babylonian Empire is being personified as a queen, then the queen is saying that symbolically, my symbolic husband is not going to die, so I'm not going to be a widow, and I'm not going to lose any of my people. I'm not going to lose any children. Verse 9. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. Look at the power of God. In one day. He said, loss of children, verse 9, and widowhood. They will come on you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells. Look at Almighty God. Verse 10, you felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. Do you see that? There are arrogant people, and even Christians who think that. I've been around them. It's not cute. Glory be to God. Is that not completely leaving God out of the picture? Yeah. Is that not completely treating God as though he does not count, as though he does not matter? Sure. Have you ever heard the poem Invictus by William Ernest Henley? I'm going to quote to you the last verse, read the last verse of that poem. And it reads, quote, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Now, I know you probably don't know that until you got to that end. That's why I just read the end part. But I want you to listen to it again. I said, these are those who are acknowledging God, but treat him as though he does not count. Again, the last verse of Invictus by William Ernest Henley reads, it matters not how straight the gate. Where did he get that from? That's Matthew 7:13. Straight is the gate. So it's not like he's denying God. He's acknowledging God. Look at the next one. Or how charged with punishments the scroll. Charged means the fullness of. Punishments, talking about the sins that are all going to be listed in the book and that we're going to have to give account of. So he's acknowledging the sins. He said, or how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the captain of my fate. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, not God. Even though there's punishment, even though all of that is there, I am still the captain. I still run my life. Can you see why all such boasting of that type is evil? Because it blasphemes the sovereignty of God. It completely disregards it. It's even worse than being an atheist because you're saying there is a God, but I don't care. I'm still sovereign over me. I am still the master of my faith. I'm still the captain of my soul. Glory be to God. Let's go back to James chapter 4. Let's go back to James chapter 4. So you can see now in verse 16. You can see now, verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 16, but as it is, you can see why I say, you boast. You boast in your arrogance. All such boasting, all type of boasting of this nature is evil. Why? Because it disregards God, his sovereignty, his majesty, him being in complete control. And saying not only just that, but then saying that in its stead, I'm in control. I will go tomorrow and I will go to the city and such and such city, and I will buy and sell and get gain and so forth. I will do this. And he's saying, no, that type of boasting is evil. Verse 17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's take that apart. Therefore, as a result of understanding that this kind of boasting is evil, as a result of that, to one who knows the right thing to do, the right, that which is right means good in quality. Right means morally excellent. Right means worthy of honor. Right means that which is upright. Good in quality, morally excellent, worthy of honor, and upright. If you know the right, moral, good, honorable, upright thing to do, you know it. And what is the thing to do on this point, in this context, the thing that the right thing to do is to admit and recognize the existence of God and acknowledge and submit to his sovereign will. And you do that by obeying. Just keep reminding you of that. So say it again. What's the right thing to do in this case? Is to admit to the and recognize the existence of God and acknowledge and submit to his sovereign will. And the way you do that is through obedience. That's the right thing to do. And does not do it. Tense is present, meaning, and is not doing it, to him it is sin. Well, realize that those who know God's will are responsible to obey it. Mm-hmm. Is that not true? Mm-hmm. And if they fail to do so, that is sin. That's why I tell Word of Life often that when you come to this church, this is a teaching ministry. We teach the Word of God. Then once you hear the Word of God and you have received it, then at that moment, you're responsible for the Word of God. And when I say responsible, I'm not talking about responsible to just know it and walk around saying, hey, I know this. No, you're responsible to know it, to acknowledge it, to submit to it, and do it. And if you don't do it, it is sin. When you go and make plans on a daily, you leave God out of it, that in itself is sin. I want to say that again. If you go through your plans and you on purpose, I'm not talking about a slip up here and there, but if you are purposely leaving God out of your plans, that is sin. That's what he's talking about. Look at Proverbs again, chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. I said, leaving God out, not acknowledging God in itself is a sin. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He'll direct you down the right path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear, reverence, and honor, and be in awe of the Lord, and turn away from evil. So verse 6, acknowledge him in all your ways. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 5, the B portion, do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Well, when you go back to James chapter 5, I mean 4, verse 13, and you see those five wheel wheels, then they are trusting, they are leaning on their own understanding. They are being wise in their own eyes. And he says to not do that. And so we aren't to plan our day, plan our lives, plan our will for anything apart from the will of God. Glory be to God. The sin of disregarding and disobeying God is, if you will, a sin, just a little theological term here. The sin of disregarding and disobeying God's will, rather, is one of omission, of not doing what one knows is right. Okay, so you can, sins of commission is sins that you actively do, and sins of omission is sins that are committed because you didn't do something that you were supposed to do. Okay, so sins of commission is doing something that you weren't supposed to do, and sins of omission is not doing something that you were supposed to do. In this case, what they are not to do is not acknowledge God. What you're not to do is acknowledge God. What you are to do is obey him and submit to his will. And so when you sin, this act of omission, it is still counted against you as sin. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 47. Luke 12, verse 47. Luke 12, verse 47. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 47. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hope you're getting a hold of this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. It says, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with the master's will receive many lashes. So verse 47, you see that a person committed an act of omission. They did not get ready. They did not act in accordance with the master's will. And as a result, they will receive many stripes. So we're still responsible, even if we don't do something that we are supposed to do and we know to do it. Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 1. Again, it says, he that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Why? Because you know to do good. You had proper knowledge of what good was, or which good in this case is the will of God. We went over that in Romans chapter 2, that we are to prove by obeying the word of God what the will of the Lord is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. As we get ready to close, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you, Father. For even though, and again, the focus on is verse 17, these are just supporting scriptures for James chapter 4, verse 17, which says, he that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We're harping on and amplifying and exploding the fact that here are folks who know what to do. They know what to do, and they're not doing it. Look at verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. For even though they knew God, now I would have told you, if you have your own Bible, I would tell you to highlight knew God. So here that they know something. In this case, they knew God. They did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What happened with a foolish heart and speculations? You think you're wise. Professing to be wise, they became fools. It gets worse. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, meaning that they made idols out of stone and wood and so forth and so on, and they worshiped the creature more than the creator. This says verse 24, as a result of that, as a result of verse 21, for they, although they knew God, but they didn't honor him, what happened was, therefore God gave them over. That phrase means to abandon them in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. So the passive wrath of God kicked in. Passive means he simply just backed away and allowed them to reap what they sow. That which he was trying to restrain them from. Mm-hmm. He just backed out of the way, and they are rushing to their own damnation. That's a lot like Genesis chapter 6 and 3, I believe, that my spirit will not strive with man. There's going to come a day where the Lord God is just going to just let it all go, and then he'll come and clean it all up. Okay, let's skip down to verse 32. So in verse 21, they knew God and didn't honor him as God. Therefore, they were in sin, and his wrath was released. Look at verse 32 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 1, down to the last verse, 32. Down on the page, let's stick together there, yeah. Okay, verse 32. It says, and although they, here it is again, although they know the ordinance of God. There it is again. You got to look at those pieces there. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things, and he talked about homosexuality, talked about lesbianism, fornication, adultery, children being disobedient to their parents, haters, and so forth. He said, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, comma, they not only do the same, meaning they not only partake of those evil deeds, he says, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So they know the ordinance of God, and they're choosing, making a choice to do that which is ungodly. Now, how do you know they know this? Saint or sinner alike, how do you know? Good question. Glad you asked. Go to Romans chapter 2, please. The very next chapter. Let's go over to verse 14. Romans chapter 2. Let's go over to verse 14. Thank you, Father. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Glory be to God. This is how we know, so that they are without excuse. Chapter 2 and verse 14. Okay. Take your time. Glory be to God. Okay. For when Gentiles, who are Gentiles? Those who are without God, without covenant, even Gentiles, who do not have the law, the divine law, or the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, they don't have it, do instinctively and habitually the things of the law. In other words, when Gentiles who are without God and they don't have the law like the Jews have the law of Moses. And so therefore they had the law. But Gentiles didn't have the law of Moses, didn't have access, yet they were obeying the law. How did that happen? He said, do instinctively the things of the law. In other words, that they were doing that which was commanded and prescribed by the law. These, talking about the Gentiles, not having the law, again, the law of Moses, the divine law, not having the law, are a law to themselves. In other words, they are their own law. Why? Verse 15. In that they show the work or the operation of the law where? Written in their hearts. See, the law of Moses was written on tablets of stone, But God has written his law in the hearts of every single human being. That's why they become a law or their own law. Because when they do wrong, their conscience, keep reading, it's written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So when they obey the law that is written in their hearts, that they don't have access to externally out here, but have it in their hearts, when they obey it, then the conscience is going to bear witness, and their thoughts are going to defend them, like you're doing the right thing. I think King James says accuse or excuse. To excuse means to defend, to come to your favor, like, yes, you're doing the right thing. But when you disobey the law of God that's written in your heart, even though you don't have the actual law, then your conscience is going to bear witness, and your thoughts then are going to accuse you of breaking the law of God, and you will not be at peace. So when we say, if we go back, you don't have to go back, but in Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, verse 21, and verse 32, when they know the ordinance of God, why? Because it's written on their, in their hearts. God has placed them there, and he put a conscience in there, and that conscience then will testify or bear witness that what you're doing is in line with the law of God written in your hearts, or is out of line, and you're breaking the law that is written in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, verse 16, he says it's going to accuse or else defend them and excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. And so, let's go back now to James as we finish up. Let's go back to James chapter 4 as we finish this chapter. It's always exciting to finish a chapter. And we're just one chapter away from finishing our first book as a verse-by-verse study. That's exciting as well. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Why? Because, as we just read in Romans 2, because the law is written in their hearts. And they've been given a conscience that's going to testify and bear witness. And their thoughts that we also have in our minds are going to either accuse us if we're doing wrong and breaking the law, or excuse us and defend us if we're doing right. And so God is just in telling us that if you know to do the right thing and done, everyone knows what to do. They know what right and wrong is, and don't do it. To him, it is sin. Glory be to God in the highest. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us a conscience. Thank you for giving us thoughts and a mind. Thank you for giving us a will. Thank you for giving us the information on what your will is. And we will not be unwise, as Ephesians 5:17, I believe, says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Your word, we're hiding in our hearts. We're storing it up and depositing it in our hearts in abundance, that we may not sin against you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. We need you, Father. Not only him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now in time and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't forget that our next stream will be Sunday, Lord willing, at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And Lord willing, hope to see you then, in Jesus' name.
Oh, my. soul. Till I never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name, Jesus Christ.